That's a lot. Maybe just take a quick question. Has it been good? Has it been frustrating? Has it been bad? Does anybody want to just give a quick opinion? Okay. You're on a one-track mind.
Right. Yeah, because the scripture itself, it's hard to show that the scripture is also the body, but not really, because we know it's
right. Has anybody okay, so it's frustrating. Does anybody else want to share any comment? Okay. So it looks like by the raise of hands, a lot have had interactions. Well, let me just tell you real quickly about myself. I was born and raised a Jehovah's Witness, born and raised, a Bible on my lap at 3 years old, for 30 years. And I prayed to Jehovah God, that was my God. My gospel was the good news of the kingdom. I was to live on a paradise earth. When you died, you went into the grave. You didn't go to heaven. You didn't believe in a hell. The hope was to be resurrected to life on earth, in a paradise earth. And at one time, I spent 90 hours volunteering my time telling this good news, getting up early on a Saturday morning, knocking on doors, waking people up. Because I knew my eternal life depended on doing that work. Well, as you see in your bulletin, we have a question, or we have a statement to tell the truth. How many here have watched that show, To Tell the Truth? It's in black and white. They do reruns now. Okay, so there's just a handful. Okay. All right, well, for those maybe that never watched it, do we know the object? Does anybody know the object of that game, To Tell the Truth? What's the object?
Find out which of the people was.
Okay. Okay. How would you know who's telling the truth? The questions. The panel would ask some questions, right? Okay. So you had John Smith said, "I am John Smith." And then the second one would say, "I am John Smith." And the third would say, "I am John Smith." Right? Well, how did we know? You know what? They all answered the questions, didn't they? If you didn't really know the subject or they were talking about their occupation, they all sounded like they had the answers. Why do you think they had the answers? Does anybody know why they had the answers? They were given the answers. Maybe they were. Maybe they studied the answers. Maybe they did a little research on the answers, right? Maybe they really wanted to fool that panel and give the right answers, right? But in the end, only one was the real John Smith, right? They studied. They studied about whatever their subject was or occupation. Well, this takes us to Galatians 1, 6 to 9. If you have your Bible, open it up to Galatians 1. And we're going to read verses 6 to 9. Okay, we have Galatians 1, 6 to 9. Let's give a little bit of a brief explanation of what was going on here. Paul became aware of a perversion of the gospel of grace that was actively infecting the Galatian churches. And these false teachers were advocating salvation by the works of the law. Now, Galatians clarifies the gospel message against this subtle, deadly danger of the work salvation. The only way a person can be justified before God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, let's read that verse. Galatians 1, 6 to 9. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that what you have received, let him be accursed. This was serious stuff, wasn't it? What's the explanation here? Well, some were trying to persuade the Galatians that they should require circumcision and obedience to the whole law as a means of justification before God. But the gospel is unchanging, isn't it? It speaks here, even if an angel would come to you. Does that sound familiar? How about Mormonism? Mormons? That's an example of a religion that's based on a revelation given by an angel. That's a different gospel. Well, what is a cult? How could we define a cult? Well, it's very simple. It may be defined as a group of people gathered about a specific person or person's misinterpretation of the Bible. Well, what do cults do? Cults, here's God, here's the cult, and here's you. And so they come between you and God. They speak for God. We'll tell you what God said. We'll tell you what he said. And so they become kind of like the mediator between you and God. But what does 1 Timothy 2:5 say? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. We mentioned Mormons. They're also called Latter-day Saints. There's also Christian Science, led by Mary Baker Eddy. We have the SDA, which is the Seventh-day Adventists, led by Ellen White. And there's recently on two on TV recently that just came to my attention. One is Amazing Facts. Has anybody ever heard that show, Amazing Facts? Okay. I don't know if you have researched anything, but I did a little bit of research, or I had a little help getting the research done, I should say. That's led by, he's actually a Seventh-day Adventist, Doug Batchelor. And he teaches work salvation, and that Jesus' work of the redemption was not finished. It's not finished yet. And he also teaches Sabbath keeping. And really, He talks the truth. He's using the Bible. He's saying good things. He's saying the right things. But then he mixes these other things in there, and then it becomes not the true gospel. And that's where we have to be careful when we, if we get off the track, or somebody comes to us and says, oh, look what I found. You know, this is the truth, you know, as somebody did to me. Oh, look, I've been watching this guy. Look, it's the truth. He's telling me this and that. And it didn't sound right. It didn't sound right. There's another one called Shepherd's Chapel. That's on at 5 o'clock in the morning. Does anybody know or heard about Shepherd's Chapel? Okay. It's led by Pastor Dennis Murray. Now, he teaches the serpent seed doctrine. That's something to look up if you're not familiar with that. He also denies the Trinity, and he teaches modalism. Well, let me talk about my background of JWs. Started in the 1800s by Charles Taze Russell. One of their best sellers is this book here. What does the Bible really teach? If they could get this in your hands and get you to study it and read it, because you know there's all these scriptures in here. They got these all these scriptures to support everything they say. I mean, a lot of chapters of interest. You know, the Bible, where are the dead? Are we living in the last days? This one really gets people. Why does God allow suffering? That everybody wants to know that. How can you make your family life happy? Oh, there's a lot of unhappy families today. A lot of broken families. Oh, you need this book. You need this book. Drawing close to God in prayer. Our relationship with God. They all sound like good subjects, don't they? And this is how they indoctrinate you, though. Get you to read this book with your Bible. They won't deny reusing your own Bible. But the questions underneath after you've read them indoctrinate you to get that in your mind, to get that in your heart, to get that in your soul, to get that in your belief system. And that's how they indoctrinate you. They feel that you need an aid. You need something else to understand the Bible. You need that book to help you understand a different Jesus. And that's usually what cults have. They have a different Jesus than the one in God's Word. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom that's going to be set up by Jesus Christ, and he's going to be the ruler, and he's going to have one world government, and all the other religions are going to be gone. And that's their good news. That's their gospel. But what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-5 says, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Another thing is, they have their own Bible. Has anybody ever had New World Translation or saw it in their hands? Has anybody actually saw it? 2, 3 people? Okay, they change it every so many years. What's convenient is they change the words in there. And that's a problem. That's a problem. Of course, you can make anything say what you want, right? If you change the words. One that's very striking, and there's many, but I'm going to pick John 8:58. If you have your Bible handy, John 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He's the great I am, isn't he? Now, the JW Bible changed it to, I have been. I have been. Well, that's convenient to say, I was created. I'm not God, but I was created. And that's what cults do. They take one verse and they make a whole doctrine out of it. Or they take one verse and they make a whole teaching out of it. And you've heard that saying, right? When you take the text out of the context, all you have is con, right? Well, cults are deceptive. If you want to deceive somebody, do you take a hat and says, I'm a deceiver? Would you do that to try and deceive somebody? Or wear a t-shirt and say, here I come, I'm a deceiver, look out for me. Would you do that? No, that's why it's called deception. You come down underneath, you come in the dark, you come in the back door, you mix a little bit of truth in there with scriptures that sounds right, sounds true, but it's not the true gospel. To illustrate this, I have two $20 bills. Let's just say one is real and one is counterfeit. Now, how would you know which one's which? How would you know? Does anybody think like me? I hope not, but okay. Oh boy, we got a bank teller here. I didn't expect that, but okay.
Five versus
Okay.
A2.
Okay.
Always going to be A1.
Okay.
Because the letters match the number.
Okay. That you may... Okay. I didn't know what the response was going to be here, but I don't have to go any further then. But I do have a question. Well, first of all, that's a great answer because you know your real money, right? That's the bottom line. Would it make sense to study the counterfeit? To know what the counterfeit looks like? Is there any value in doing that? To expose it? Okay. Anybody else have a comment on that? No? Okay. This is what the FBI experts say. You have to know the real thing, right? You have to know the real thing. Then you can detect the false. You don't study the false to detect the real thing. You got to know the real thing first, then you'll know the false. And you'll know it real quick, right? Yeah. Okay. 2 John, if you turn to the end of the Bible here in 2 John, a little book, in verse 7, it talks about deception. What John said... He said, "For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." It's so important, friends, to know your Bible, to know your gospel, to know the true gospel. Because what does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Right? And so as a JW, I believed in the flesh is in Christ. What does that mean? The flesh is in Christ. Well, he's like any other human. He's like us. He was created. He's not God. He's a great teacher. He died for us. As long as we stay in good standing with God, right? Well, in the year 2008... I officially left the organization, and I began my search for truth and did a lot of research and study and books and XJW material and Christians and listening to different preachers, and because the organization spoke for God, and that's unbiblical. That's unbiblical. Because if you turn back here to Hebrews... a few pages. In Hebrews, the very first chapter and the very first verse, 1 and 2 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." This is the true gospel. This is the true gospel. One of my favorite scriptures is John 1:14, where it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Amen? This is the gospel in Romans. Romans 4:5 says, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." To everyone who believes. There's a wrong teaching in the JWs on who goes to heaven. They believe only a select few will go. You've heard that 144,000 number over and over and over and over. And the number, they play with the numbers. The number goes up, the number goes down. The number goes up, the number goes down. If you go and look throughout all of history from the 1800s, you'll see that is one number that just fluctuates. only a select few took that bread and wine. And so when the bread and wine was passed by, when I was at the memorial for many years, that bread and wine would pass by, and I, as well as a majority of the people, would pass it up. I'd pass up communion. When I know the true meaning of the emblems of that bread and wine and what they represent, the relationship with Christ, the importance of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I say, please, don't ever take communion for granted. Study God's Word and spend quality time with God to know Him better. It's that important. If we flip back to 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God." How do we know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. You know, there's been many false prophecies the JWs made. 1800s, the end was going to come. 1900s, 1975, and on and on and on and on in different years. But what does Deuteronomy 18:20 say? God said, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods," what? "That prophet shall die." That was very serious. That was serious. That is a serious thing in God's heart, isn't it? So how do we conclude today to tell the truth? We started in Galatians. We'll end in Galatians. We start in the first chapter. We'll end in chapter 2 in the last verse. How are we saved? We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed only if we confess our sins and believe, and then we can be saved. Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." And so, we conclude today, brethren, in Galatians 6:18, Paul's last words were, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen."